Good morning. My name is Edgar Flurry. Could you please state your name for the record? Properly phrase the first year.
Doug Matt.
Melissa Cullen.
Bradley Winteroff.
What's the name, please?
Bradley Winteroff.
Okay. All right, I have that. Okay. Please raise your right hand. Solemnly swear that to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self you God.
I do.
All right. We're going to be discussing. Oh, is there a testimony for 169 and 170? Same facts going in other than the physical of the property?
No.
No, two different types. Okay.
Well, there's three parcels. The first one is, I believe, one parcel. The second one is two parcels.
Yeah.
They have a little bit varying sizes and zonings. However, some of the info is the same. So if it's the same in the second, I'll just skim through it really quick.
Fine. Okay. We're going to be discussing petition 20-169. All right. Sir, have you read the opening statement?
Yes,
sir. That's the position of the...
Yes, sir.
Okay, you understand. Okay, you understand that. Okay. Could you please read into the record the parcel number and the assessments and the market value? Thank you. This is... Okay.
And then I'll provide you with the second one when we get there. Is that okay? Okay. Okay, if you will turn to, it's labeled page 5, and it's the property record card before trim. The parcel number is R10-423-21-0000. 0020-0000. And then on page 7, I provided the property record card after trim, and I'll explain that in a second. On page 11.
Could you please read in the record the market value?
Yes.
And the tax value?
Okay, on page 12, I have the values before trim and the values after trim. The just, assessed, and taxable value before trim were all the same at $313,696. After trim, they were all the same at $278,510. And that's listed on page 12. Now, the reason for the difference before trim and after trim on the values is because the petitioner brought to our attention that there was a strip of land that had been taken by the Department of Transportation that we were never notified of, and so we adjusted
different
that.
Different size of the land, you said?
Correct. They took a strip of the land off, so we adjusted it accordingly, and, you know, of course, that lowered the value.
Okay. Okay,
on page 11, this is owned by the Ridge Manor Campground and Mobile Home Park, LLC. It's a parcel of land located on the east side of McKeithen Road, south of Cortez Boulevard in Dade City, which is commonly referred to as Ridge Manor in this area. It has a mixed zoning of C1 and RC. C1 is general commercial. RC is recreational commercial. The land size after we adjusted it because of the DOT taking was 9.37 usable acres and gross acres. If you turn to page 13, I've provided a description of the subject property with a map showing the different zonings. The front portion of the site is zoned C1 with 68,287 square feet or 1.6 acres. And along the northern and rear portion of the site is the RC zoning. that is 339,768 square feet or 7.8 acres. The zoning code, based on the C1 zone portion, it permits commercial uses, and the RC zone portion of the site permits mobile home or RV park uses with relative accessory structures. On page 14, you can see that I have begun with valuing the recreational commercial land. And if you turn to page 19, you can see that I have prepared a comparable land sales chart using 5 sales located in Hernando County that were all zoned as agricultural land, which is slightly inferior to the RC zoning. They occurred from March of 2018 up to August of 2019. On page 20, you can see that I have adjusted for market.
Excuse me, bear with me.
Yes.
The subject is zoned RC. The 5 comparables are agricultural, but no adjustments been made, correct?
I did adjust for the zoning, yes.
Okay, let's see.
Yes, on page 20, you can see where I've adjusted.
Oh, okay, fine. I was looking straight here.
Okay.
All right, there you go. All right,
You can see that I adjusted for market conditions, which is time. I've adjusted for location, visibility, access, size and shape, zoning, and utilities and drainage. If you turn to page 21, this is where I began valuing the commercial portion of the property. And please go to my charts that are on page 25 and 26. I used 4 land sales that had various commercial zonings that occurred from April of 2017 up to February of 2019. On page 26, you can see that I adjusted for time, location, visibility, access, size and shape, and on one of the comparables, I adjusted for utilities and drainage. After totaling the 2 values, via the sales comparison approach, the final value as of January 1st of 2020 was $352,546. You turn to page 27. I have included on page 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, all of the commercial land sales in the county that have occurred from 2017 to the end of 2019 that were considered qualified sales. And the remainder of the packet includes our legal information, my certifications, and property record cards for the comparable sales.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if you want to do this. I know the petitioner has some kind of like combined information. If you want me to go through the next one, that way we don't have to like go back and forth.
Get close to your mic.
Sorry. I don't know if you would want me to, but I know the petitioner has some of the information combined if you would want me to go through the next one, and then that way we don't have to keep jumping back and forth.
It
would you
sort
like
of
them to do that or separate?
It makes sense to me.
Pardon?
It does make sense to me just because.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, they are tied together.
No objection. Okay, fine.
Okay. I'll bring you the packet for the second one.
And could you hold on a minute, please? No, I mean. Okay, Ben, pages 30 and 31 are all the 2019 sales, correct? Oh, never mind. Is this a synopsis of the previous pages? Pages 30 and 31?
No, pages 27, 28, 29, 30, and 31 are basically all of the commercial land sales in the county that were considered
because it's
qualified.
It is laid out differently. That's why I asked that question.
Okay.
Okay. So basically, those are all the sales since 2017.
Correct.
All right. That answers the question. All right. So you're finished with this here. Bear with me.
Okay.
The evidence for petition 169 is acceptable and is admissible, and it's Exhibit A. Proceed, please.
Okay, if you will look at the packet for petition 170, please. There's two parcels. For the first parcel, the parcel number is R10-423-21-0000-0050-0000. Just bear with me, I'm going to tell you what the market value is for that one. The just assessed and taxable value for that parcel is $238,000. Mm-hmm. The second parcel, the parcel number is R10-423-21-0000. 0040-0000, and the just assessed market value is also $238,000. Please turn to page 10.
Bear with me a second, please.
Sure.
Okay, they're both 10 acres, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay, please.
These two parcels sit adjacent to the rear or the east of the prior parcel that we discussed.
It's east of 169.
Correct. Adjacent to the east.
Okay.
And these are on the west side of Westlake Boulevard, south of Cortez Boulevard. These both have a zoning of R1MH, which is for manufactured housing. They're each 10 acres. These properties were purchased by the owner in May of 2018 at $300,000. However, it was a disqualified sale because the purchaser, which is the petitioner, also owns another property adjacent to the north. And also, I was unable to find any prior listing information indicating that it was exposed to the open market. And I searched MLS, CoStar, and LoopNet. On page 12, you can see
Could you do me a favor?
Yes.
Speak into the mic, and the reason being the recordings sometimes get faded out. So.
Do you need me to repeat what I just said?
That's fine. No, that's fine.
Okay. On page 12, you can see a map where you can see the parcel that we just discussed, the two subject parcels, as well as the parcels that the petitioner owns that are adjacent to the north. There's two of them.
They're budding one another, correct?
Yes.
They are, okay.
Please turn to page 18. On page 18, these are the same comparable land sales that I used for the prior petition, and these are the agricultural land sales.
Same sales?
Yes.
Okay.
And same adjustments for time, location, size and shape, zoning, utilities, and drainage.
Okay.
The final value of each of these parcels was $240,000 each. And the packet really is, the rest of the packet is the same as the prior packet.
Okay. The property appraisal evidence for petition 170 is exhibit B and is admissible. Okay. Winter Roth?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, fine. Hey, speak into the mic.
Okay.
The recording. Thank you very much. Bear with me a second. Okay, sir. This is your evidence here? Or do you have a package of evidence?
I have a package of evidence.
Could I have?
Yes, sir.
May I ask the petitioner if it's the same information that he supplied me with?
Yep.
It is. Yeah, I just
the same package?
Absolutely just printed out what I submitted to.
All right, please proceed.
Okay, so I would like to establish that the property was purchased in 2018, May of 2018. The sale price was, so I'll sort of say the back two properties, the $300,000. And if you look in that packet, there's the contract of sale.
Now, this is for all parcels, both 169, 170?
No, sir. 170.
Okay, this 169, you didn't have a bet.
Okay, 169.
Okay. The property appraiser indicated that was not a qualified sale. Is that correct?
No, 169, the only transfer was for $100. There was no deed recorded for a sale.
But he indicated it's $300,000.
No, that's for the rear parcels.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Start all over again.
Okay.
Because I'm looking at this as $300,000.
Yes, sir. That is the mortgage for the – this was all sort of one big transaction, which is why Ms. Melissa asked to include everything together. The transaction was $300,000 for the back 20 acres. I call the back 20 the R1MH 20 acres. And the front 10 acres – was effectively a transfer with property that I had already purchased the year before and in that 10 acres. So it was a swap. It was a two-part deal, a swap for the 10 acres and a purchase for the back 20. And if you look in the contract.
Which exhibit? Is this the exhibit you're talking about?
No, sir.
Okay, this is on top. I have the contract. This exhibit and the contract for sale. The contract. When you said a swap, you still own all those parcels, correct?
I own all the parcels in question today. I own those. So as it, before May 2018, I owned 11 acres, which was basically an adjacent property. I transferred that, traded that for the front 10-acre piece as far as 20-169 here.
What document are you going to be referring to? Could you tell me that?
Yes, sir. The contract is specifically, that's the first piece. Okay. Yes, sir, that one that you're looking at right now.
Okay. Now, repeat one more time because I didn't clarify clarification. The purchase price is $300,000. Is that for the one covered by 169?
No, sir. That $300,000 is what is covered by 20-170.
By what?
By 20-170. So we can distinguish the two if you want and only focus on one if you want. It's up to you. Do you want to separate the two petitions?
Yeah, I want to know as to contracts and sales prices, I'd like to know you'd be separated, yes.
Okay.
Now, this particular one is strictly 170, you said?
No, sir. It's...
I'm sorry. Either I'm not hearing it right or you're not communicating.
The contract covers two different transactions. Okay. One of the transactions is petition 20-169.
Okay.
That is for, if you look on the contract of sale, item two, parcels to be exchanged.
Okay.
That's 20-169.
Okay.
20-170 is the next item. Price. The purchase price is $300,000.
All right.
It all occurred at one time, which is why there's one contract and why where it's sort of getting lumped together. We can distinguish if you want. We've already gone through the properties appraiser as sort of one topic. I don't know how you would want to distinguish that now.
Separate them for more clarity.
Okay.
Before you proceed. You indicated $300,000. Is this what you're talking about, this $300,000?
The $300,000 was a recorded deed for the two rear parcels that are 10 acres each.
And has nothing to do with this here?
Has nothing to do with the front parcel.
Oh, it just happened to be $300,000.
For the rear?
Yeah, okay.
Yes. The front piece, there was no deed recorded. They traded land, basically.
All right.
That makes sense.
All right, please proceed.
Okay, so I will discuss the 20-169 first.
Yes, please.
This specifically was a transfer. The year prior, in April 2017, I purchased through Ridge Manor Campground an 11.4-acre piece and an adjacent property, which has 900 feet of frontage on State Road 50.
Uh-huh. How much?
I purchased it for $145,000.
How much?
$145,000. This was marketed for more than 6 years. I don't know the exact number, but I believe it was even more than 10 years. But it was at least more than 6 years on the market exactly as it is for $169,000. And it was never sold until I purchased it and for $145,000.
Listed for 160?
You got it. Listed for 169,000.
Okay.
So, a year prior to this transaction, I purchased that 11.4-acre piece for 145,000. Mm-hmm. That I'm sorry, that works out to 12,700 an acre.
12,000 what?
700 an acre.
Okay.
And then, so subsequently in this transaction in May 2018, the owner of this property and I worked out a deal where we would transfer my 11.4 acres for this 10-acre piece, which included the RC, 7.5 acres approximately, and the acre and a half of C1.
And that, the one at 10 acres, that's petition number?
169. So my point in this is that the 10-acre piece was essentially valued at $12,700 per acre at the time of purchase, you know, due to the direct correlation there. If you will look at the appraisal report, which is further down in the packet.
Okay, I have that in front of me.
Okay.
This Russ Shaw, he has a designation of MNAA. I'm not familiar with that designation.
I'm sorry, I'm not either right now. Okay. He is a certified general property appraiser, and he has been since 1973.
Okay.
Additionally, he has served on the Citrus County VAB.
Okay.
So this appraisal report, is his professional opinion upon that piece of property. And if you'll look at page 36.
Hold on, please. I'm writing this one down here for you. Okay. What page now?
36.
36. Okay.
Okay. So this is his list of land sales. And again, since it's sort of compiled together, I'll just ask you to look at sort of the middle of the page, the commercial. There's 12 listed commercial sales in 2019 that he used as comparables.
Okay.
With those values, he believes the evaluation of a C1 property is $97,929. The remaining RC, he feels like it's valued at $119,700, bringing him to his estimation.
You're still on page 36,
37? Yes, I'm sorry. The specific numbers are at the bottom of 37.
It's what, bottom what?
37.
Okay.
So the balance of that RC and C1 property, his appraisal value is $217,200 for that 10-acre piece.
Okay. And the next one is $151,900.
Is that two parcels? Yes, sir. If you want to talk about 20-170. He has included his appraisal valuations in this same report. So if you'll go back to page 36, he has 20 residential comparables there throughout 2019. And he describes that on the next page at the bottom of page 37 also, where he has evaluated it to about $14,000 per acre. So that's where his evaluation of $151,900 comes from. He also, in the report, has 21 sales from 8 sales from 2017, 6 from 2018, and 7 from 2019, all from the Ridge Manor area, within 3 miles of this purchase, and all of those, he's averaged that out at 33 and 34 cents per square foot.
What page are you on now?
I'm sorry, that's the middle of 37. That's that table in the middle of 37.
You're in a narrative section. Okay.
Yes.
I was looking at the sales.
This is just to highlight the sales in Ridge Manor and how it's consistently around 33, 34 cents per square foot, and how Ridge Manor can be at a lower value than the rest of the county. And so those values in Ridge Manor specifically come out to about $14,000 an acre, which is right in line with his evaluation of the 20 acres of property.
Okay. All right.
So that describes both. It sort of connected the two again, 169 and 170 petitions in the same report. So did you understand we have both values in there of the front 10-acre property for his appraisal and the back 20 acres on his appraisal as well?
I'll read through the narrative here. I'll have to read through
basically. Yes, okay. I guess my point is, both petitions are on the same report, and he has the information for both the commercial as well as the residential sections in there.
Anything else, sir?
Yes, sir. One other quick thing. I would like to note that the description on the county website has been updated, specifically the front property, how there was an adjustment for the DOT taking. The description has been correct since the beginning, and so only the valuation has been not updated until recently. So the DOT communication with the property appraiser had been, at some point, it had been completed. However, the reduction in I saw the in talking with the property appraiser as well as the surveyor, they both identified that the property description on the county website was correct. However, the property size, which is where the valuation is accounted from, that was not exactly, that's what was corrected. So, but either way, whether or not it took care of, I've been paying taxes on the additional value, which is $580 from last year and $400 from the year before. So that's additional taxes that
prior years are irrelevant. You would have had to dispute it in those years.
So
what was that?
Prior years are irrelevant. He would have had to dispute it then.
No, I understand it, but he can go back though if there's an error on your part.
No, nope. He would have had to dispute it in the 25 days.
Okay.
For VAB when he received his TRID notice. Additionally, DOT, I don't know why they don't always get us the information. So as soon as he brought it to my attention, I corrected it. But those prior years, he would have had to contact our office to adjust it. Every tax year stands alone. He did not file for those years. He did not call us for those years or anything. Okay. So he's going to have to take that up with our office. But if my chief deputy chooses to make that determination, the property appraiser, but typically each year stands alone and they have to file in that year to dispute it.
Every year stands as its own. However, if an error is found in your calculations and size of the improvements or land, and it comes to light some years later and you've been wrong for X amount of years, they have no basis for rebate of taxes at that point?
Well,
that has nothing to do with you.
Right. But basically, again, he had 25 days when he received those assessment notices those years to dispute that, number one. Number two, it's something I can talk to the property appraiser, my chief deputy, about, but this hearing cannot determine prior years. He would have to talk to them about it, or I can relay the information. Unfortunately, DOT does not relay the information to us always. And I also believe this was done in the middle of 18, so it wouldn't even have applied till 2019.
So that's fine. I understand. I do believe there's a distinction between arguing the amount of or discussing the amount of tax evaluation, but as Mr. Flaherty mentioned, there was a mistake made. So, but totally outside. I can address that subsequently. However, I would like to point out that this was purchased in 2018, and a majority of this information applies to 2020. So I do believe that we're kind of moving forward with inflated property valuations on this report. I don't know if this is the right time to talk about it, but we have adjusted land values for two subsequent years. When the two points I'd like to make is this purchase occurred 2 years ago, so we could either deduct the valuation 2 years off and negatively adjust those values, or realize that this 2020 is has a reduced valuation, if that makes sense.
I really don't know what you're getting at, but as far as prior years, this isn't the time for it. We have to focus on 2020 in this hearing. For prior years, I can relay the information, but my chief deputy's response is, as far as value for prior years for sales that we did not consider market transactions, he's not going to adjust it. As far as adjusting the size for the DOT taking, that's up to him and the property appraiser, as well as the statutes we have to follow. But this hearing is for a 2020 value, and that's it. We can't go into those. We're not allowed to. It's statute.
Okay, we're not talking about that anymore. I'm sorry. I misunderstood. We're not going to talk anymore about the extra taxes paid, and we're not going to talk about value in tax value in 2018. However, I do not think that you can separate the value, the actual specific date of sale. You cannot separate that value because your report goes through an assumption that the sale occurred January 1st, 2020, which did not happen.
The and date of value.
Accordingly, you did not back. So you have added in the appraisal report, specifically on pages 17, 18, 19, and 24, 25, 26.
Well, your pages, their pages.
I'm sorry, on their pages. Okay. So 20-169, it's pages 24, 25, and 26. The property appraiser has positively adjusted for sales values due to increasing sales value across the county. However, it's an improper connection because the date of my sale was 2018, which would devalue that sale. But your assumption of January 1st, 2020, you have given extra value to sales that have taken place before it, but that value has been given due to property value increasing due to time after the sale of this property in question.
Brad, I'm going to be honest. I am very confused, but to put it simply, we assessed in arrears. So the bill that you will receive in November of 2020 is for a date of value of January 1st of 2020. So what appraisers do is they take sales and they study the market and the area, and they determine whether there is an increase or a decrease due to time. So that's simply all I did. So I'm kind of confused on where you're going with that.
This I can describe it right now if you'd like. I purchased this in 2018.
Uh-huh.
So the market subsequently increased value.
Correct.
So your 2019 sales should be increased value. But when you retroactively compare that with a sale in 2018, your charts have positively added to your comparables because the date you've given me of sale is 2020. But the point I'm trying to make is you don't take a sale and add the value every year to the value of the market.
You're incorrect.
No.
I've been doing this, Brad, for 17 years. I've worked all over the state, public, private, court, everything. I'm working on my MAI designation.
No,
you're incorrect, and I'm going to leave it at that. See what you gotta say.
So if I purchased a property for $200,000 and you evaluated it at $200,000, say property values, which you have identified in here at 6% per annum, that would, the next year, that'd be worth $212,000.
You can't just base the value just on your sale price. That would be chasing a sale.
Excuse me. Every year stands on its own.
Yes, sir. I believe that's the point I'm trying to make. So I purchased this in 2018, specifically on the chart. So on 20-169 report, the market conditions, she has added 0.5%, 5.35%, 7%, 8%, 16% on purchases, which happened after mine. So do you understand what I'm saying? She has added value to the comparables because they occurred before January 1st of 2020. Are you following me?
I'm following you.
Okay. So specifically, the very top of page 26, market conditions. February of 2019, she has added 5.35% to that property in Wikiwachi. My point is that 5.35 should be negative percentage adjustment because my purchase was in 2018. We're not changing history here. We're not saying I purchased this in 2020. I understand for the tax roll, we're only talking about 2020, sure. However, this market adjustment is improperly inflating the comparable's value.
You've made your point.
Okay.
The evidence that the petitioner submitted, consisting of a contract, a mortgage, a deed, and an appraisal, is Exhibit C and is admissible. Is there anything else?
Yes, please. I'll make it very quick.
Okay, hang on. Is this for both petitions?
Yes, sir. Regarding the data.
The data?
Regarding the sales and the data that was supplied. I'll make it very brief.
Okay. Oh, you're very brief? Okay.
I'll try. Okay. Just for some clarification and some history,
are you going to refer to pages now?
I will shortly, but I do want to make a statement.
Okay.
In that area, the owner called GLM had, I believe, a large parcel that at some point years prior he broke up and started selling off. The front portion, just for clarification, was traded for $145,000. There is nowhere that I can find a listing, and with CoStar, LoopNet, and MLS, you can go back several years. There was no deed recorded and no doc stamps paid. My other thing that I wanted to point out is I noticed in the appraisal report that the highest and best use written by the other appraiser was very brief. Being that the owner owns the campground located adjacent to these parcels, my analysis says that probably the highest and best use would be to combine these parcels, which would probably lower some taxes for him, as well as develop it for another RV mobile home park based on the one that he already owns.
The highest and best use would be a mobile home park, you believe?
Yes, and to combine all the parcels in order to do that.
Both parcels or both petitions? The parcels covered by both petitions or just...
Yes, sir. Because he owns another parcel that's not part of this that fronts 50 but is adjacent to the rear parcels that I think he could combine with all of them for the highest and best use. I just want to point out on page 18 of the appraisal report, the appraisal...
Hang on, 18? I got a preferred. Okay. Okay. Okay.
There is on the bottom of the page a paragraph about assessed value stating that the property values have fluctuated so rapidly in the subject neighborhood, and then they haven't been kept up, and the subject has an agricultural classification which significantly reduces the tax burden. This information is incorrect. I don't know if it was left from another maybe report. May I continue?
Yes, please.
On page 19, there is a definition of fair value referencing the Department of Treasury. In the state of Florida, we are not here to determine fair value, but market value. So I just wanted to point that out. One thing that I noticed throughout the report, especially in the highest and best use section on page 30 under the legally permissible. 30? 30, yes.
Okay.
The appraiser is referencing the legal use as single family and discusses this throughout the report. It is my opinion, for as long as I've been doing this, of course every appraiser has a difference of opinion, but that a single family use is completely different from the zoning that only permits RV and mobile home park uses. I printed out the zoning codes and read them, and nowhere does it say that single family residences are permitted. It's modular homes that can only have a residency of up to 180 days, or RVs. Finally, please turn to page 36. The appraiser supplied a land sales chart here, and what we did is we went through and made our own Excel spreadsheet to check the zonings, the assessed values, the sale prices, so on and so forth. One thing we did notice, there were about 8 properties that he had the incorrect assessed values. We also noticed in the front of the report he had the incorrect assessed values for the subject properties. I'm not sure where he got these numbers from.
The assessed values are wrong.
Wrong. Okay. Some of the zonings are incorrect that he has listed on here as well. Some of them, for example, we're calling it sale 19. It's in May of 19 on Commercial Way. And he says it has a commercial zoning, yet it's actually a mixed residential and commercial zoning.
Okay, so you found some errors in there in regard to assessments mostly, and a couple of errors in sales prices.
As well as some of these are disqualified sales, and he did not, especially a lot of the commercial, he did not state that or indicate that.
Okay, in the beginning of your rebuttal, you were reading something. I would like to copy what you were reading from when you started the rebuttal.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
I think I have enough. Anything else at this point?
I would just like to make one more point here. On the property appraiser, the appraisal report, they used 5 residential comparables and 4 commercial comparables, whereas the appraiser I used 20 and 12 in relation, as well as the adjustments I believe are unfair. They throw 5 and 10 and 15% at different adjustment values as far as location, size and shape, zoning, utilities, availability. I understand that You have to do some adjustment, mm-hmm. but I feel like 5 is pretty excessive, and in all of these instances, they compound.
Basically, excessive adjustment.
You got it. And that's one of the descriptions in the books and the rules that they go by. You can use those absolutely, and hopefully they average out. But in specific cases, they can be grossly overestimated. So I believe that that's the case here.
All right. I believe I have enough information to chomp on at this point. I do thank you both. End of petition.
There's 3 pages that I was reading from, but I do need copies because these are my originals. I'll hand them to the clerk.
You need copies of those? Or was that?
Either copies of the originals.
Okay, that's fine. You don't need these. Okay. Okay, here. I'm ready. Okay, the rebuttal evidence requested by the special magistrate is Exhibit D, and it's admissible. End of petition.
Thank you.